Blog Talk Radio.
There were some clouds, they were rolling through the sky, and they brought down all the rain. And there was a puddle that became a pond as it gathered up so much rain. Little seed close by grew into a tree as it soaked up so much rain.
Hello, it is July 28th, 2016. It's Thursday morning, Wednesday night. It is 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. My name's Thomas, the host of The Philosophy Show. blogtalkradio.com/philosophy. youtube.com/blast of fresh air. Blast of fresh air. Today's episode is titled Saving Face, What is Love? Free Radicals, Freedom, Globalism, Communication. This is a half an hour show. Welcome your call. Welcome all points of views. The slogan of this show is Open Hearts, Open Minds, Open Phones. And so it is episode 149. And the call-in show, if you'd like to be a guest, call in, is area code 646-929-1344. Again, that's area code 646-929-1344. Let's begin. So let's start with, what is love? Because I've heard some people say, it's just a word. We have pretty much involuntary actions. We're determined completely by the past, and we're computers, we're programmed, basically. Something like that. And, you know, so love is our desires, which are, this is one argument, I'm going to say, which are pre-programmed. I mean, so you love food. They're your needs. They're your addictions. Or something like that. And I say love could be defined that way. But it's just the opposite of that. It's breaking past that. Realizing, thinking for yourself, it's the most important thing. It's breaking free of that slavery, that determinism. Now, I'm not saying there isn't determinism. Of course, you determine the future. You can train yourself. You know, probably most of the actions we do throughout the day are things that, on how we have trained ourselves, how we have programmed ourselves, and how we are programmed. So if you really want to change the future, change yourself now. You know, if next time you notice doing something on autopilot, and you're disappointed with it, don't allow yourself to be autopiloted the same way. Work on things to train yourself now, so next time you go into autopilot, you'll go into autopilot how you want. But back to my other definition of love, a counter argument, I guess. Love, well, is free will. And without free will, then there is no use, really. I mean, you know, but we do have feelings. We do feel. We do care. We can think. We can get ourselves out of pilot and become a manual pilot. So you can't have love without free will. You can't be in a relationship that is sincere you know, in that loving, true love relationship without free will. The number one definition of love is free will. Now, I guess I could say all love is free will. Not all free will has to be love, but maybe, I don't know, could explore that a little bit further. You know, I was thinking, you know, the God question. You might believe there's a God, you might not. Let's just, for quickly, and we'll get into other subjects too. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different topics and a couple other little jokes and stuff like that before the show ends. So, but if God did create people or beings, why? Now, I don't know, and but I can guess, and I can deduct possibilities and deduct reasons for each possibility. You know, I mean, if you created something, I mean, it could be for control. Like some people, you know, the joke, parents create kids so they can do chores, yeah, and then take care of them when they get old. Others do it so that they can make the world a better place, that they can, you know, have kids to show their parents, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Why would, so they have something to inherit to, so they can have a friend? Now you're getting somewhere sincere. I mean, you could have robots and, you know, and they might be fun for a while, but you never know if it really cares about you unless if it has the ability to leave you. And unless it has the ability to have free choice. And there's, so you can't have a real genuine relationship without the other person or being, individual, having a free choice. That is what love is. Love has to do with having a free choice. And that's what, you know, God can live forever, always has been. Maybe get lonely. Maybe you want people or some other friends. You can't really call them friends unless if they have a free choice. And so that's just a little thought here. And so that kind of, you know, so what is love? Free choice. And free choice is freedom. It's the ultimate freedom. I mean, you might not be free to do anything you want in this world because there's government, there's this, there's that. There's rules, there's regulations, there's cartels, there's monopolies, there's... That's true, and I'm doing it, you know, this philosophy show to help bring light to stuff like that. And so bring it out of the darkness, expose it, realize that it's nonsense, that there's a better way. So some people say freedom and love are just non-words. Maybe by themselves, but so let's define it. Love is free choice. Freedom ultimately is a freedom of choice. There's one kind of freedom that you do have if you're a thinking person and not just on autopilot. That is freedom of choice. You train yourself to, you program yourself, you determine the future. So life is a determined life. But the thing is, you have a part to play in that determinism to affect the future. What has been done in the past, you know, if you're older than a certain age, had something to do with your choices and plus everyone else around you, you know, and anyone who affects the entire environment. So but the ultimate freedom, the fundamental one, free choice, and that is what you could call sentient being, one that has the ability to make free choices. They might not be able to do those free choices, but they have the ability to want those free choices. You know, and so that's just something there. And so freedom and what is love can kind of be combined into one topic there, in a sense. And just a little side note, saving face. saving face and communication. So let's get into that. Saving face and communication, I can kind of merge into one topic as well. Like, I made the title of the show Saving Face - What is Love? - Free Radicals - Freedom - Globalism - Communism. And then I made a funny subtitle, Gift Cards Are Worse Than Cash. When I look at this title again, I can kind of combine some of these. Like, what is love and freedom can be combined. Saving face and communication can be combined. Let me just give you an example. And this can have many examples. Many, many, many examples. One example that, just so that you can relate to it and understand it. Doesn't matter if you're a Trump fan or Hillary fan or whatever. Let's say you're talking to a relative, and let's just say they're either a Hillary or a Trump supporter. Doesn't matter which one. And let's say you're the opposite of that. Okay? It doesn't matter. That's not the point. It's like, you know, one of those math problems, the train went 60 miles, blah, blah. It doesn't matter about the train. There's a principle behind it. So, if your relative was a Trump or Hillary Clinton supporter, and but you were just the opposite and you wanted to try to communicate to them, to convince them, to persuade them that maybe, you know, they're rooting for the wrong side. If you just yell and call them names and tell them what a bad choice they made and make them feel like they're uneducated, you get my point? You think that's going to persuade them? Or you think they're going to just double down and argue back to you? So they've got to save face. When you try to persuade someone, you have to give them an out, an ability to save face. You got to give them an opening to save face. Because, I mean, most of the time, I mean, maybe some people, but it's very rare, like that kind of stuff. Like to be just, you know, blasted for their opinions and told how stupid they are and etc. But most people don't. So if you're trying to persuade someone, you have to give them an opening. And this can be examples that have to do with relationship arguing. There can be examples that have to do with workplace arguing, etc., etc., etc. I just use that as an example for today. So if you're trying to persuade someone, communicate. And when you get in back and forth an argument, that's one of those times where sometimes you go back and forth and back and forth. And just like the pendulum, all of a sudden you both become hypnotized by that back and forth. And then you go into autopilot. And then that is the determinism. You know, you were programmed to like Trump. They were programmed to like Clinton. You both are arguing. No one's communicating. You're both hypnotized, are in autopilot, and it's been predetermined based on your social structure, how you're raised, etc. But if you can think for a second and program yourself and say, when I get in a heated argument next time, I'm not going to just go back and forth. I'm going to take a time out. I'm going to take a cooler, just even for 2 or 5 minutes. And I'm going to talk softly. I'm going to give the other person a way out. I'm just going to let it go and just say, who cares? You have your right to believe what you want. You know what? And that can be the most persuasive thing in the future. You're setting the seed. Sometimes you're not going to win the argument right there. Sometimes you might win it a month later. And who cares? The argument shouldn't be about Trump versus Hillary. It should be about issues. Every issue, I think, should be voted on, not the person. I mean, it's too bad we don't even need a president. We could just have issues and have people vote on them. Should we have the TPP? Vote, yes or no. Should we legalize marijuana? Yes or no. We wouldn't need a Trump or a Hillary, just issue by issue by issue. Do we need cops to have body cameras? Should we pay cops $100,000 so they're not, you know, tempted by criminality? And should we get rid of quota systems by cops for cops so they don't have to, and for prosecutors, you know? But, you know, should we have an independent internal affairs? we can vote, yes or no. Those are all common sense things. Maybe we would get a lot more of what the people want as a majority instead of having to choose the lesser of two evils. Yeah, I like this guy because he believes in gun rights, but I hate their issue on Social Security and Medicare. I like this person because they like Social Security and Medicare, but I hate their issue on overregulation of business and gun rights. And so you never get what you want because you'll end up getting the opposite. You'll just get the bad things from them, but not the good things. And that's what we get. You know, we have a two-party system, so it's very much, you know, black and white per se. I don't mean that as far as race. I just mean polar opposites. It's yin and yang. And so, I mean, we need to communicate. We need to unite. Everyone likes the principles of the Constitution, even though, you know, you know what? Gary Johnson right now is polling in Florida at 17%. He's nationwide at 13%. He only needs to be at 15% in 1 month to be in the national debates. With three people running, and Jill Stein's also running, she's actually at like a high percentage in Florida as well. We should have four parties, at least, in this country. I mean, I'd say at least four, but four would be pretty darn good. Did you know the country that has the most entrepreneurs is not, per population, is not the United States? The country that has the most millionaires per population is not the United States? It's Finland, a country that's a European social democracy. It's a country that provides education to all its people, has a higher minimum wage, has a stronger social safety network. And because of that, nurturing and less stress, there's more millionaires and more entrepreneurs, small businesses in a country like that. So I don't agree with all social. I do think there should be a lot less regulation in business, a lot. I think if you want to start a hairdressing business right away, you shouldn't have to fill out any forms. I think we should get rid of the entire income tax system and just have a national sales tax. In fact, I would have a guaranteed annual income and just get rid of Social Security and Medicare. A guaranteed annual income for the poor as a safe social safety net. And that would be a bottom-up economy in competing, lots of competition. But that's just me. And I don't think Gary Johnson is perfect. You know, I've been a Ron Paul supporter. I've been a Bernie Sanders supporter. To me, the biggest issues are the wars. The wars overseas, where we spend about $1 trillion a year if you count the black budget, and the war on drugs. Those are the two biggest issues affecting our civil liberties and our budgets. And our budget has to do with our civil liberties, has to do with our crumbling infrastructure, has to do with our priorities and us causing conflict around the world and veterans getting injured and things like that. It's destruction instead of construction. For every bomb, you could probably send, like, you know, 100,000 kids to college for a year. I mean, it's crazy. So they all are holistic issues. You can't just take one issue and say it has nothing to do. Education totally is the same issue as overseas foreign policy and war. Because if you take money from education to pay for war, it's the same issue. There's no Democrat and Republican. We're all fighting over, we're a big family who's fighting over the budgets. How are we going to spend the money? Republicans just want to spend it on different things than Democrats do. So, I mean, it's just who gets the power of the purse. That's what everyone wants. And, you know, the people that are running for president and stuff. There have been, let me just give a quick little push, one more quick little push to Gary Johnson. I'll go into the next topic here. Just YouTube, Governor Gary Johnson. That's where you'll find his official YouTube. Not just Gary Johnson. There's another one that doesn't have any videos, but Governor Gary Johnson. He has some out of this universe ads. I mean, some really good ones, and he's really gaining. I mean, there's never been a better opening for a third party. And usually I don't focus on the presidential elections. I think we have a House of Representatives, which is something we should focus a lot more on. And, you know, taking back the House of Representatives is the most important thing we can do in a democracy. I mean, just consider your choices. We can either have a physical, another American Revolution in the streets with guns, or we can have one at the ballot box. Those are our two choices. This government was created to have it at the ballot box. So if you really, I mean, and to me that's a civilized way. If you really want to make a difference, if you really care about the future, forget any get-quick-rich Trump University scheme. If you really want a better standard of life, to live in an environment with freedom, which will be prosperous to you, go to the ballot box and convince 10 people. I mean, it's that simple, and convince them to not vote for a plastic politician, someone that's a regular person, and it's mostly not going to be a Democrat or Republican. Find that independent running. There's, in 2012, I have a channel I interviewed the most independent and third-party candidates on the ballot ever, over 50. These are people that are on the ballot. There is almost, like 95% in every single district in this country, someone who is not a Republican or Democrat running, and you can vote for them. They just need some support and help, and they need to get in the debates. So they might not. Some people are so frustrated now. You know, Congress has a 3% approval rating. But when you engage people, think about what I said about communication and free choice and things like that. Because, I mean, everything is kind of, you know, defined. You have to, you know, agree on the definitions before you start the argument. You know. And that's why I put the word free radicals in the name of the title. Of course, health-wise, you know, you want to have antioxidants, which get rid of the free radicals, because the free radicals cause cancer, right? But think about that terminology, how they named something that's really bad and cancer-causing free radicals. That's like something you would hear, look at it, Occupy Wall Street or Tea Party thing or Black Lives Matter and say, oh, look at those free radicals marching around and protesting, you know? I just thought it was a little funny. You know, free radicals. We're radical and we're free. So it might be a cancer to the corrupt, rigged system, but you're actually a healing agent to a fair system. And so some other points to mention. I did put out the subtitle, Gift Cards Are Worse Than Cash. We got about 7 minutes remaining. If you want to call in, I mean, it's just our way of thinking. I mean, if you get a gift card and you buy it for $20 and it's worth $25, then no, that's not worse than cash. That's actually better than cash. So sometimes if you get a deal like that, that's good. But if you're buying a tit for tat or a tick for tack gift card, like it's worth $25 and you buy it for $25, damn, why not just give the person cash? Why not just give that person cash? I mean, it's like you're giving them a gift, or you're just working for that restaurant or that store or whatever. I mean, what if that person really needs something else? You know, I mean, you don't have to get them anything. So, I mean, anyone who is getting something free shouldn't complain. But I'm making a point that's underneath that point that is just more fundamental. Why do you feel like you have to get them a gift card? Because you're embarrassed to give $25, you don't think that's enough. But if you make it in the form of a gift card, you think it's worth more? No, it's actually worth less, because you can only use it at one place. You know, in fact, the other person might rather get $20 than a $25 gift card, even if you got them a $200 gift card. I mean, what are you saying? Like, yeah, here's $200, but you can only spend it at one place. You know, I mean, that's like the kind of mentality that we're in. That's how corporatist and how trained we are, where we can't even recognize stuff like that, that we think that's actually a good gift. It's like people who think leasing is better. If you spend the same amount of time in a lease car where you're paying about the same amount per month that you could own that car, but now you don't and your lease is over, it's just better for me, it's easier for me. That's people like just subscribing to stupidity. I remember the first time leases started getting popular, I was thinking like, that is just the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Oh yeah, but you never have to take care of it. Yeah, there could be some benefits if the monthly fees are low enough and stuff like that, but to me, I just don't get it. And I mean, it's not exactly the same thing as a gift card, but you know, it's like people that refuse to use the post office for customers. If I order something from a place and I have to pay like $10 shipping because they only use UPS or FedEx when they could use Priority Mail, that would only be like $5. I'd rather you use the post office. Nah, I don't want to support no government public option. Well, if you care about customers, you would use that. I'd prefer to use that. You know, I don't want to pay like $15 in shipping for a little knick-knack when you could just go to the post office and pay like a third of that price. You know, personally, I have nothing at UPS or FedEx. I mean, all the drivers seem pretty cool. But I like the post office as well. So we got like 4 more minutes. Let me see if I have any. So the only other point to mention is like we need to communicate, stop name calling. You know, globalism. There's 2 types of globalism. This was the last point. There's a globalism that the powers that be, the corporations, the ones that are undemocratic, they're unequal, unfair, want, the ones that want the status quo, that want the dynasty. And then there's just, I wouldn't even call it globalism, it's just, but that's what it is. It's the people on the internet communicating to people across the world. I mean, when I leave a comment and I talk back and forth to someone in Canada or someone in some other country or whatever, that's real globalism. Or if I order something on Amazon and it's coming from China or someplace, or Thailand or Germany or wherever, or Australia. I mean, that's real globalism. So there is such a thing as fair trade. I believe in fair trade. I mean, it means that if you're going to charge our exports this amount of percent, then we're going to charge you that same amount of percent. We're not going to get ripped off. That's fair. You know, so anyways, you know, what we're calling free trade now is, yeah, you can charge us like 25% and we'll charge you like 2%. Well, whatever. I mean, I don't know. I mean, some people say that could hurt the other side and that's to their own detriment. But there's lots of debate about that. I mean, anyways, I have 90 seconds. Now, I do have the ability to do 15 minutes overtime, so I'm not too worried. But, well, that's the show. Hope been some enlightening topics here today. So thanks for tuning in, turning on, and thinking. So until next time, the next week, same time, etc., check out my playlist and some of my videos at youtube.com/blastoffreshair. This has been another episode of the Philosophy Show.